haven't been with us since the beginning of this service. We also thank you because we know that you who has started it with us will finish it. As your word will come forth now, I ask, O Lord, that your word will be empowered to bless, to promote, to restore, to save, and to liberate. My Father, my God, I ask that every seed of the word that will be sown into the lives of your people will lead to the expansion of the kingdom on earth, and Lord Jesus will fashion each and every one that will hear me to be that perfect servant that you welcome home as being faithful. Lord Jesus, your desire is that we start to rule and reign right here on earth. Everyone who will hear me this morning will be empowered to rule and to reign here from today in Jesus' name. Father, we bless you. Because, Lord, every word, every thought, every imagination that will argue against your word, we oppose it. And we come against them in Jesus' name. We ask that the people will take possession of that which rightly belongs to them, because the word is your bread today. You will eat and you'll be fed in Jesus' name. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice and follow. The voice of another, they will not follow. You will hear the voice of the Lord this morning. You will follow him in the mighty name of Jesus. The voice of another, you will not follow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been looking at joint heirs for some time now. And you know the Bible passage we've been using. So you can open with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. That is where we've been reading for a while now. And that is where we are going to read, just to remind ourselves of some of the things of where we started building the foundation for this topic from. Romans chapter 8, from verse 14 to 18. Are we all there? Praise the Lord. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. You will agree with me that if we are going to continue to look at this topic, it's something that will take a very long time. This morning, I just want to proceed to talk about joint heirs, the super DNA. Joint heirs, the super DNA. I don't know if you had the same news that I had during this week. Was it on Friday? I'm not sure. There was this professor in America. You know, it's so interesting how God sets up virtually everything that happens in your life to line up with His word. You know, so that every situation you encounter, it becomes a message to you. So this professor went ahead and did a genetic mapping for himself. And he was talking about the advantages of him having done a genetic mapping. One of the advantages is that not only did he know what makes him up, he also found out that there was a genetic coding for a particular disorder, it's very uncommon, that can later down the track manifest in heart disease. And so he went to see the cardiologist who did all sort of tests and said that his heart was okay, and then prescribed exercise and other things that he needs to be doing for him. And then there's going to be periodic testing, so that if it occurs, if that situation should arise, they will nip it in bud. And they were saying that one of the applications of genetic mapping in the future is probably what this professor did, such that it's not just going to be enough that people that you know yourself, you will go and do a genetic mapping and know what are the likely things that may happen to you. And if you can take precaution, you take precaution. If you need to be going for tests, you'll be going for tests. If the other people in the society will be going for tests for such things, maybe once in 5 years. For you, it may be once in a year, you know, because that is the kind of application they said this thing may have. So sometimes it's good to know what you are made up of. As children of God, one of the things we are going to do this morning is to look at what makes us up, who we are. Genetical mapping, spiritual genetical mapping, is what we are going to do. So that when you know your strengths, when you know what you are made up of, and you are not where you ought to be, you'll be positioning yourself to be where you are supposed to be. And I will be positioning myself to be where I am supposed to be. So it's so interesting to find that piece of news item so useful and applicable to the Word of God. I talked about super DNA because as children of the living God, when we come to Him, certain things, certain changes take place in us. It's not just a figment of our imagination. I've told us before that the reason people ask for your CV before they give you a job is because they want to know what you have done before, to be able to predict what you are able to do or what you will be able to do in the future. In placing our trust in God, sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of what God has done before. And that song that the choir sang was so wonderful. And it fits into this message. Because when you look at the refrain, it says so that we can do what? We can trust him more. And one of the ways we can trust God more is when we recall what God has done in our lives. We can trust God more is when we know what we are made up of in him. The fabric, our constituent, how he's built us up. And in doing this, I examine the passage that we have just read, or I examine an aspect of that passage. But let's go back to historical lane a bit, just to see how God has done it in the past and how God will do it again, or has done it again in our lives, because he's already done it. It is left to us to appropriate it to ourselves. I think I've touched on this before, just briefly one time. I don't know if you still remember. That Father Abraham was called out initially with his family. If you look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. Genesis 11, 27 to 28. I will read. He said, now, this is the history of the descendants of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. Haran died before his father Terah died in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldees. So the land of the birth of Abraham was Ur of the Chaldees. At the time we are talking about, there was no record, or there were no Jews in existence. Where is Ur? Ur is actually located in a place currently called Tel El Mukayar. And this place is located in Iraq, the current Iraq. And I'm sure those of us who have been listening to, or who have listened to the events of the Gulf War, there were names of cities and towns that, you know, that came up quite frequently, apart from Baghdad. I'm sure some of us will remember Basra. Some of us will remember Nasiriyah, which is down south of Baghdad. And that is just southeast of that is the place that used to be called Ur, close to where River Euphrates was. So that was where Abraham came from. What am I trying to tell us? That there were no Jews in existence until God spoke to Abraham and called him out. And he told him, I called you out of your father's land, out of your kindreds. And I asked that you be a people unto me. And you know the interesting thing today is this. Is that from time to time you hear the Israeli government trying to rescue people who are Jews from different parts of the world. How do they know they are Jews? They do DNA testing for some of them. In other words, you have a recognizable DNA pattern for the people that were not in existence at one stage, whom God has brought into existence by reason of his call upon their lives, that they have become a unique group of people. Because the Bible says that God called those things that be not as though they were. The same thing goes for your life and my life. When God calls something into existence in your life, except you are not waiting for the performance of it, if you choose to wait for the performance of it, God will bring it to pass. So Abraham's call was first a spiritual concept that became a reality. And I will tell you this morning that every God's promise for you that you have held to will become tangible in your life in Jesus' name. The passage we read in Romans says that we are adopted. It says we are adopted. But it now says, it now goes on to say, but we can cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption that God has put in us ensures that we can cry, Abba, Father. And I then did a research on the word Abba. I've looked at it before, but I've never really looked at it in detail like I did this time around. The word Abba is a transliterated word, not translated word. It's transliterated because it has no English equivalent. It's actually an Aramaic word. Many of us will remember that the language that Jesus actually spoke was Aramaic during his time. That is the word that was translated. There's a Jewish teaching called Mishnah. In that teaching, in the Jewish tradition, slaves, as you know, in those days, people would buy slaves, were not allowed to call the master of the house Abba. They were not allowed to address the master of the house as Abba, or the mistress as Ima. Because the word Abba connotes, is a word of intimacy. Bible scholars have argued about the meaning of Abba and Father. Some people think they are equivalent. That is the same thing as, so when you say Abba, Father, you're saying Father, Father. Some people have even said maybe Abba is the same thing as Daddy. And it's so interesting to see people argue about this a lot. You know, if you read write-ups, some people believe you can't reduce God to that level and just say Daddy. But one of the things that people agreed about the word Abba is that it more or less connotes a kind of baby language. That connotes or betokens unreasoning trust. Unreasoning trust. You know, if you have a 1 year old, or maybe a 2 year old, how much that 2 year old would trust the dad? If that child is on a cliff and daddy is standing down and says, jump, I will catch you, that child will jump. As opposed to the word father, the word father requires a higher level of intellectualization to actually connote the responsibility and the role of who a father is. And Jesus says, the Word of God says that our adoption confers on us that ability to address God in such an intimate and childlike, trusting way. In other words, we can cry, "My Father, my Father." Not just a father, not just the Father, but my Father. I don't know if this will set you thinking to ask yourself, how much have you made use of your relationship with Him? If we have such a great Father as Yahweh Himself, the self-perpetuating God, the self-renewing God, the God that can do all things. Do you know something about the power of adoption? When you compare it to the power of being a biological dad, is that the power of adoption means there is a choice. That God decided or made a choice to adopt you and I. You know, biological dads, you don't have a choice, do you? The only choice you have is not to make a baby. Okay, maybe you can, with scientific knowledge now, you can stretch your choice if you are the type who wants to go that far. I don't think for a Christian you want to go that far, you know, to make a choice to determine the sex of the baby. Okay? But let me tell you, you may choose to determine the sex of the baby, but there are things you cannot decide about the baby. You may not be able to decide the character, the behavior, and the manners of the child that will be born. You may not be able to decide the height, the weight, and many other things, attributes of the baby that will be born. Yet God knew you, because when you came to Him, you came to Him as a fully formed adult. God knows your ways. He knows all about you before He adopted you as His son and His daughter. What a loving God He is. The other issue of relevance is the issue of nurture. We know that in science, the two things we often argue about is this nature? Is this what somebody is born with? Or is this nurture? Is this the environment? Some people will say, oh yeah, the environment constitutes 60% of this, of the effects. But what we also know, of course, the environment includes your way of life. So in other words, when you come to Jesus Christ, if you will walk in obedience to His word, it has the ability to cause a fundamental change, not just in the way you behave or conduct yourself, but it has the ability to bring about a fundamental change in your gene and the things that are referred to as epigenetics, that is, the behavioral component and the appearance and other things in our lives. That is how profound the adoption that God has made of us. That is how profound it is. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, Galatians 4, verse 1 to 7, that is another passage where there's reference to adoption. There are probably about three passages in the Bible where there's reference to adoption. And this one brings the message home for us. As we look at the word, he said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Praise the Lord. Verse 4 and 5 talks about something that was very fundamental. He said, "But when the fullness of the time was come," when the dispensation has come according to the plan of God, according to the purpose of God, to bring about a fundamental change in man, knowing that man had failed, knowing that man could not of his own accord meet the requirements of the law, because God has spoken it. He has spoken the laws into existence. The laws then had to be obeyed and the conditions had to be met. And the Bible says when the fullness of time came, God sent his only son so that he will fulfill the requirement of the law. And then something happens. He then gave room that adoption could be given. And the Bible makes me understand from what we have just read that the adoption has to be what? Received. That the adoption has to be received. It is our ability to receive the adoption in its totality that will determine how we are going to operate within the ambit or the confines of the kingdom that our Father has established for us. If God says he has adopted you and I, and we continue to live in doubt, then we cannot go out and fully claim that we are of him. That probably explains why a lot of times we cannot with boldness declare God, who God is to us. We looked at confrontational evangelism this morning, and Peter with boldness spoke because he knew the God he was serving. He knew who has adopted him. If you know who has adopted you, and you are not afraid that people are going to doubt you, you'll be able to go out there and actually flaunt it and tell people that this is my father. We know of a family, or maybe I should say my wife is the one who knows them very well. We know of a family who have adopted children from other places, I think from South Korea or so. This family, they are Anglo-Saxon. And you know what? When the children from this family go out, you hear their names. You say, where are you from? He said, my father is so and so. I mean, this family is really well off. They are very well off. This boy is not ashamed to say that who his father is. Even though feature-wise, he may not physically look like him. He may not physically look like the mom. But he knows that that is his dad. And he goes to tell people that he's so and so, the son of so and so. And you, when you ask him, you say, I'm adopted. Praise the Lord. And the kids also have a friend who, now I will tell you how to flaunt your adoption status. The kids have a friend. She's from Ethiopia. She was adopted by a family in Australia. The man is an orthopedic surgeon. He's really well off. Praise the Lord. So one day she came to do her hair with at our place. And when the hair was done, I think she was asked to pay $100. And she said, oh, when she's done her hair in the past, she had not paid $100, so she sent $250. Praise the Lord. No, I'm telling you, that was what actually happened. Because she could afford it, she has it. She could not, you know, she just thought, you know, $100. I've never done my hair for $100. She paid $250. But do you know that this child, if her mentality has been to live like she was in Ethiopia, to pay $10 maybe, near impossible for her. But she lives in the reality of her moment, of her life right now. Because that is the life she knows. We as children of God have to live in the reality of the life that Jesus says we are. Of who Jesus says we are. Remember, we talked about being empowered last week. And the Bible says God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Where we read in Galatians verse 6 and 7 said he sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. It is that spirit within us that cries, Abba Father. In other words, it is no longer our own human spirit, but the spirit of the Son of the living God that resides in us and creates that relationship between us and God the Father. And by reason of the presence of the Spirit in us, it confers in us certain characteristics that makes the element of our being. And everyone that has that spirit in them, like I've told us before, has the ability. One of the characteristics is that they have the ability to live righteous. Can you tell your friend, you have the ability to live righteous? You have the ability to live righteous. Because the Bible makes me to understand in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 29, he said, if you know, perceive, and are sure that he, Christ, is absolutely righteous, conforming to the Father's will in purpose, thought, and action, you may also know, be sure that everyone who does righteously and is therefore in like manner conformed to the divine will is born, begotten of him, God. The Jesus in our lives gives us that ability that the things we used to not be able to do before, we can now do them, and that includes being able to live righteous before Him. So it is part of our DNA to be righteous. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, one of the things that makes us to be able to live righteous is the fact that there is a change of emphasis in our lives. We begin to look at things differently. Our priorities change. Colossians 3 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasure that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God." Praise the Lord. He said, as far as this earth is concerned, John Adeboye is dead. And the life that I now live is Christ who lives in me. The old self has passed away. And there's a new self, which is the real reality of an adopted son in Christ Jesus. Because only those who are so made have right and access to the things of the kingdom. I told us of a man in Nigeria who died recently with a while ago. He had many, many children. Because he had so many, many women, I can tell you that he surpassed the record of Tiger Woods. Praise the Lord. And so, in his will, he wrote that they should do DNA testing in sharing his will. I'm talking about Abiola. He said they should do DNA testing for all the children, except the children of the first wife. All the other children should have DNA testing. Only those who qualify will be what? Will be given something. And I understand that about 2/3 fail the test. You will not fail the test in Jesus' name. So there are things that makes up the fabric of children of God. The ability to live righteously. It makes up the fabric of a child of God. That when God we do your DNA and genetic testing, he will find you worthy. Because not everybody will be included in the sharing of what? Of the properties of the family. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says, the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they belong to my father. He can provide. He can meet needs. There is nothing that he cannot do. But he will exclude some people. And you will not be excluded in Jesus' name. Can you look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 and 15? Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. He said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of what? Of life. That they may have what? A share in the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city." Read that part. The verse 15. What does it say? But outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Sometimes we don't, you know, we don't know the import of some of the things we do. In other words, the gate is closed against certain people. Some people will be allowed entrance after DNA testing, and they are found to fit into the categories of those who can say they are children of God. So not all who say that they are children of God will actually enter. Because when God does not find in them those attributes that are his, by reason of the adoption, he says, but outside the gate were those people. But my brothers and my sisters, is it not very scary? Look at the groups of people there. Look at the groups of people. Let me read another version. It said, but without are the dogs and those who practice sorceries, magic arts, and impurity, the lewd, adulterers, and the murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and deals in falsehood, untruth, error, deception, cheating. So God classifies somebody who tells lies with people who are sorcerers, who are murderers. It's very serious, isn't it? It's a very serious thing. And we think it's wisdom. In other words, as a child of God, if you cannot be relied on to give a correct version of what has happened, you are in trouble. Maybe I shouldn't use the word trouble. But really, what he's saying is that the gate may be closed, and outside are those people. You will not be outside in Jesus' name. Do you know it is that fabric of God in you that allows you to have, that enables you to have love for God and love for the brethren? Do you agree with me? Oh, yes. It is because the Bible says God is love. God is what? Is love. So the fabric, one of the things that makes up God is that he is love. And one of the genetic inheritance as children of the Most High is that ability to love God and to love the brethren. It is difficult to keep the focus on God if not for his spirit in you. You agree with me? Oh yeah, it's difficult. True sons and daughters suffer for the gospel. Do you know that? Because they have set their affection on things above, they suffer for the things of the gospel. They so much love God that they are willing to make sacrifices for the things of the gospel. Let me take you through something. When Jesus was promising his disciples the Holy Spirit, what did he say? He said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, the what? The Comforter. Please, who needs a comforter? Praise the Lord. I need a comforter too. But who are the groups of people who need a comforter? Somebody who is partying, enjoying, and you know, do you need a comforter for such a person? When things are rosy and you are all over the place, you drive in your, you know, Maserati and you are all over town, painting town red and so, do you need a comforter? No. Who are the people who need comforter? The people in pains, people who are suffering, people in tribulation, people who suffer persecution, people who are troubled, people who are hopeless, people who are in despair, people who are depressed. They are the people who need a comforter. Am I right? I know when some great things have happened in my life, On those days, nobody needed to comfort me. No, it is when things are not going well. It is when I have to struggle. It is when things are tough. That is when you need a comforter. In other words, Jesus has said that, look, this road that you are going to travel in order to keep focus on him, there are going to be difficult, tough times and tough decisions to be made. That is when you need the Holy Spirit to be by your side. You take some decisions. Nobody likes the decision you have taken. Yet, you know that that's the right decision to take and that God is with you. And I'm telling you, it looks like everyone else is against you. That is when you need the Holy Spirit. You need to take a stand. And you took a stand and everyone else is against you. That is when you need the comforter. It's not people who make merry. Let me tell you something. It's not somebody who is the friend of everyone that needs a comforter. If you are so accepted and everyone is, you know, you are popular, you are good, you are nice, you don't need a comforter, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You have friends, right? They will give you counsel, they will pat you on the back, they will tell you you are doing well. It is when you become isolated. It is because you are being rejected. That's why you need the comforter. That is why you need a companion. You may then ask me, why will a son suffer if we've been adopted with such a great, you know, promise for us? And I will tell you that this is because your priorities have changed. In Colossians 1, I mean 3, that we read, your priorities have done what? Have changed. It's also in your gene to change diet. It's also in your gene to do what? To change diet. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord. Doth man live? That's a quote he took from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That every child of God depends upon the word of God. That is what makes up your fabric. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 as we close. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says something about how the word makes up our fabric as children of the Most High God. It makes up who we are. It says, and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge, upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. Maybe King James Version gives it better. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He's renewed in knowledge. So the building block is in the word. Because of what the new man knows in the word, he's renewed, he's rebuilt, he's remolded based on the word of God. It makes the fabric of the one who has been adopted. In other words, if you say you are adopted and you can live apart from the word, you need to be asking questions of yourself. Because therein are the provisions of God for your life. That when you appropriate the word, look, the way we should live our life is such that when we see something in the Bible, we hold on to it and say, this is what God says concerning me, and we will not let it go until we see it made manifest in our own lives too. When God promised Abraham that he was going to make of him a great nation, did Abraham see a nation? He did not see a nation. But today, I'm telling you that there are people you can call Jews by reason of their genetic makeup. The promise of God will become manifest in your life as long as you hold on to it and you wait for it to be made manifest. Because when the fullness of time came, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son made of a woman. God will send the manifestation of his promise into your life today in Jesus' name. You know, in the last week, I've spent time, I don't know, God was just giving me words. And one of the things that he gave me concerning his word is this, and I will read to you. I think I read it to someone else earlier on. He says, words carry weight. Some words throw you off balance, but the word of God places you back on it. Be careful what you listen to. That's what he says. That's the word of God. You need the word of God to put you back on the balance. It has to be part of your diet. It has to be part of our lives. And lastly, you also have a gene for greatness. You do what? You have a gene for greatness. How do I know? Now, some of us here may not appreciate what I'm talking about, but you probably will appreciate it a bit. Do you know how I know you are likely to appreciate it? Okay, I see some cars on the road. Some vintage cars, some cars that were made maybe in the 50s, 60s, that are still plying our roads. And I wonder if they have the original engine in them. Or some 1970 car that young men drive around the place. I wonder if they have the original engine in them. Okay, maybe they do, you know. But I can tell you something. Back in Africa, we call some cars, in Nigeria, we call them Tokumbo. Praise the Lord. That is, they are maybe fourth hand, third hand, or sixth hand, that they are being imported into the country. And what happens is this. These cars have done so many kilometers. They've done hundreds of kilometers that the engines are no longer useful. Sometimes it may be a Toyota car and they'll put the engine of a Peugeot in it, right? You know what I'm talking about now. Praise the Lord. Now, the big question is this. The Tokumbo car with the body of Toyota and the engine put a new engine of Peugeot in it. What do you think would determine how efficient that car is going to run? Is it the body or the engine that runs it? Praise the Lord. The best that the body will do may be to affect the aerodynamics, how it's going to be able to move forward and so on. But in terms of getting to where it needs to go, is the engine inside. And you know what? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the engine that is in you than the engine. In other words, what the Bible is saying is that the whole world put together cannot assail the Spirit of God that is in you. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise on our feet? And I want to tell you, because the engine of God is in you. And let me tell you something. It's only a kingdom that is not advancing that will not face opposition. It is only a man that is not making progress that will not face opposition. But let me tell you what the word of God says. It says, greater is in you than he that is in the world. The whole power of the world put together cannot assail you. Can you just begin to thank God for his word this morning? Begin to thank God for what he has said concerning you. You are made to be great. The gene expression for greatness is in you. The gene expression for excellence is in you. And the Bible said that Daniel was preferred because they found in him the spirit of excellence. You are preferred wherever you go in the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to pray today. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him because you are preferred. The favor of the Almighty God is with you because the genetic expression of heaven of the Holy Spirit is in your life. That wherever you go, you will excel. He said, see a man diligent in his ways, he will stand before kings. You are meant to stand before kings. You are meant to stand before president. You are meant to be the best wherever you go because the glory of the Lord is in you. The power of the Almighty is in you. Oh yes, because the word of God says so. The word of God has placed you back where you ought to be. Every area of failure in the past, they have become forgotten. Every area of inadequacy has become forgotten. You are a new person in the Lord Jesus. You are a new person in the Lord Jesus. You are able. You are able. You are more than able. Begin to thank the Lord this afternoon. Begin to thank him because he is a good God. Thank him for because he has said who you are. This is your makeup. This is your genetic makeup. He wants you to operate in it. He wants you to go out and do battle and win for him because he is the Lord. He is in you. He is greater than the whole world put together. He is the creator of heaven and earth. We worship you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise because you are God. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we know that we are made of the fabrics of heaven. We are built to be overcomers. We are adequately prepared to go into the future knowing that victory is ours. These are not empty words, but Lord Jesus, they are true words because we have an assurance from your word. My Lord and my God, is there any life under the sound of my voice this morning who is struggling in an area? My Father, my God, because the spirit of excellence is in them, they are greater than that situation in Jesus' name. Victory is right ahead of you. Take hold of it this morning. I say victory is right ahead of you. Take hold of it this morning. That is your portion. That is who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace?